Okay, let's go ahead and get started, and I'll just open us up in prayer. Father, thank you so much for the time we've had in Exodus together. I just praise you for everyone that you've brought here and how you've led us and taught us and helped us. And Lord, I know that you just plan to do that until the day we see you face to face. And I just praise you for that. So please be with us. Allow us to finish strong as we finish up this part of Exodus. And just don't let us miss anything you have for us, because we know what you have planned for us is beyond what we could ask or think. So I just pray that you'll just, Lord, forgive us of any sins that we need to confess before you. And Lord, we praise you that you are a holy God, and you've made a way for us to come to you through the blood of Christ, the only blood that can cleanse. So, Father, I just pray that there won't be anything to prevent us from receiving everything that you have for us. Lord, I pray for breakthroughs and wonders and understanding and wisdom and direction. And I thank you that you love to speak to your children. We just love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, let's go ahead and read our memory verses together. They're up on the screen. Exodus 15, 16 through 18. Terror and dread fall upon them because of the greatness of your arm. They are still as a stone. Till your people, O Lord, pass by, till the people pass by whom you have purchased, you will bring them in and plant them on your own mountain, the place, O Lord, which you have made for your abode, the sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established. The Lord will reign forever and ever. Exodus 15, 16 through 18. So what a precious final memory passage. And it also is a nice segue into part two of Exodus. We've looked at how God is a God who rescues. Part two will be a God who rescues us for intimacy. He brought them out to bring them in. So that verse so speaks to that. Our final message, I've titled it, A God Who Loves to Rescue. That's what we've been talking about. And the verse I went back to is Exodus 6, 6. It says, therefore say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rescue you from their bondage, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. So I wanted to kind of share testimony tonight for the message. Because a few months before, my world began to crash in October of 2019. But a few months before that, God allowed some things that I still am kind of stunned. It's the sweetest little animal rescue. But when I was rescuing these animals, God knew, I'm rescuing you. And you're going to need these teachings, and you're going to need these truths and these comforts, and you're going to need it all. And so he's still teaching me, believe it or not, from the cat rescue. So my daughter texted me that. It was actually this, what's up on the screen was one of the first social media, please someone take a kitten. And I realized it was 2 years ago, and I thought that would be a good final message for our God who loves to rescue, is kind of share. So here's everything from the kitten rescue that God, there's so much to it. We don't have time tonight for me to share everything from the kitten rescue that God used and still does. So what I've done to spare y'all the time and everything else is I've pulled out, I wrote a few blogs about it as we were going through it, having no idea that my world was going to crash. And so I went back and I pulled up those blogs to give us some structure. I'm not going to read you every blog. I pulled out some excerpts and some scripture to kind of give us some, keep moving, Charlotte, stop rambling. So we'll use that for that. So I realize now when I was writing these, anytime I'm writing a blog or a message or teaching or a study, I'm writing it for me as much as I'm writing it for anybody else. But these specifically, these blogs, God knew were going to help get me through, that I was going to need them, and they would already be written for me. So the first one, we're going to start with The Saga of a Kitten Rescue, Part 1. And the title is Trusting God's Plan. So what happened was my daughter called me, and she, you know, she's an animal lover like I am, and she had seen this precious little kitten already pregnant, and she lives in downtown Nashville, and here's this kitten, and anyway, she's thinking it would follow her, and she'd try to catch it to get it a home, but it would run, and anyway, she's feeding it, she's helping it, but every rescue attempt, and every time she thought she found it a home or someone that would keep it, it would all just crash. And so we were riding the roller coaster and couldn't, you know, it was hard to enjoy the day thinking about this poor kitten when it stormed and all that. So she reminded me what we all know. We have no control. You know, God created this kitten. He knows the plans he has for this kitten, and we just had to leave it with him. So even when things don't unfold like we wanted them to, we still have to leave it with him because he knows best. So there are a couple of spiritual analogies from this that I did want to share from the first blog. First, when whatever scenario we're in, we have every reason to trust God's plan, no matter what. His plan may not unfold like we hoped, but it will be better than anything we could have come up with. His ways are better, kinder, and more God-honoring than ours. We know they are good, even if circumstances scream otherwise, which often circumstances do. So the second spiritual analogy from this is that God's timing is an important part of the plan. He's always working, he's always doing, he's always working in ways we can't imagine. And I love this quote, my friend Ann Wood, who's usually here and couldn't be here tonight, she said, "We don't want to run ahead of God because things will not yet be in place that need to be there." I mean, when we think about his timing and we want to hurry and get to that or hurry and make that happen or hurry, we would cool our jets if we truly understood what was going on in the spirit realm to prepare us. So I use the verse Jude 1:25, "To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen." So we leave everything to him. So part two of the kitten saga is it's called Preparation for a Rescue. So this is what was so dear to me. I was just walking, you know, I love to walk. So I'm walking one day and I was praying. And of course, I start praying for the kitten and what Ashley could do. And I kid you not, I felt the name Abigail, as if it was her name, popped in my mind. Her name is Abigail. And we had this room in the house I used to live in. It had been, the girls all took turns living in, the, you know, living in that bedroom because it was attic space. And I'd asked the builder, would you just make it a giant closet? So it has a window in it and it's this, you know, a dream closet for a girl. And of course, by the time they were gone, I'd turned it into a storage room. So that's all it was. And I remembered, it was like that room popped in my mind. And I called Ashley and I said, if you can catch her, I'm going to clear out this storage room and we're going to let her raise her kittens there and we'll find them homes. So, and let me tell you, this is the same child who came home in elementary school and said, "Mom, hurry, whoever brings a note tomorrow with permission to take so-and-so's hamster gets the hamster." So, you know, I'm writing the note and she gets to throw it in with all the others. Well, I'll be if Ashley didn't come home with the hamster because I was the only mother that wrote a note. Of course I was. So now you know what you're dealing with here. Good grief. So anyway, so we have this plan, and Ashley and her neighbor actually were able to catch Abigail, and Ashley got her to the vet. And that night, she had her kittens at the vet. And that night, it stormed and flooded in Nashville, and they would have all been dead. So that was the sweetest, sweetest timing of the Lord. The spiritual analogy on this one concerns our eternal rescue, because the effort and preparations that Ashley and I put into rescuing this cat and her kittens does not hold a candle to the preparations God made to send Jesus to save us. So our eternal rescue and the plans made, just soak in some of these verses. Galatians 4:4, But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. And then John 14:2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And then John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. And I share that one because Abigail did not reject her rescue. Now, honestly, Abigail doesn't get much credit because she tried. She tried to run. She tried to get away. But isn't that us? Our rescue is all God. It's not, we have nothing to do with our own rescue. It was all him. But Abigail did not reject her rescuers, and she landed safely and securely, cared for, nourished, and loved. So there is no eternal security apart from believing in and receiving Christ as our Savior. We do not want to reject the greatest rescue ever known. So we praise the Lord for providing the only way, and that's through Christ. So the kitten, the saga of a rescue kitten, part three, and there's only five parts, and this has been, what are we longing for? And this one really spoke to my heart, and this has been one of the core ones. I'm not going to read you the blog, but I have to go back sometimes and read it. It's been core for me, and it actually this week was, I'm sorry, it's part four that was so core. This one's good too. Okay, let's keep going. So in this one, what are we longing for? The babies were so cute, but they were deaf and they were blind and they didn't even know what they were doing. But those sweet things could find that mama and nurse. And I'm telling you, they snuggled in and they made sure they got in there. And once they got in there and latched on, they were fending for their spot. And it was so sweet to watch them. And just the whole thing was so dear. So I kid you not, I'm just kind of thinking about that. And I grabbed my verses for the morning to go for my walk. And we were memorizing in 1 Peter, the women's ministry. That was our challenge. And so, believe it or not, I grabbed the memory verse for that day, and it is 1 Peter 2, 2 through 3. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Once those babies tasted that they were in the right spot, they were not letting go, and nobody was going to move them. So that's how we need to be with the Lord. We need to be diligently getting in there to be nourished by him, to enjoy him, love him, and remain close with him, because only he can satisfy. All right, here's the one I was talking about. So Saga of a Kitten Rescue Part 4 is called Ebenezer. And this one I needed this week. It has just been so timely and so good. So just like Ashley, where she kept trying to rescue the kitten and it kept falling through, I would think, you know, I'd think through all the kittens. Okay, I think I have homes for all of them. And then they'd fall through. And then, well, I think I have homes for two of them. No, I don't. You know, and I really started to get a little frustrated because I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I could so enjoy these kittens and play with them and enjoy them knowing that they all had homes to go to. And we even, I set up one of those kind of baby cameras. It's called a Wise camera. So we were watching her raise her kittens in the room. So all the kids were, you know, from wherever they lived. Jack and Bethany were still in Sydney, and they were watching the kittens from Sydney. So Abigail was the star of the world, and lots of us were watching her and enjoying them. But I began to think my true trial was going to be to have six cats, and I did not want that to happen. That was not what I was longing for. So, I mean, look at these sweet babies. In fact, you see that already chosen for a forever home, the little black one. No, it wasn't. Like, no, that fell through. The little middle one had a home. And then God is so good, better than I could have asked or imagined. He actually ended up at the last minute, like he often does. And it's interesting what I've been through. It was a divorced mom for her kids getting two. She wanted two. And then a divorced dad with his kids. They both had, you know, it's always a hard story. And they took two. So this middle one she was taken first. She knew where she was going all along. And you'd know the one that knew where she was going refused to get off mother's milk. The only one that wouldn't eat solid food. So I wish those were my trials now. You look back and go, why would I make that into a big old trial? So anyway, what I would feel like I would hear from the Lord when I was praying, Lord, please help me find homes, and please, I could enjoy them if I knew where the homes were going to be. It was, I'd hear the word Ebenezer, and that comes from 1 Samuel 7:12. And that verse says, "Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shin and called its name Ebenezer, saying, 'Thus far the Lord has helped us.'" And I would just hear him say, "I have not brought you this far to fail you now. I haven't brought you this far to fail you now." So this week, when I'm crying out to him, he says, "Ebenezer, I haven't brought you this far to fail you now." So I praise him for that. I just thank him for how this rescue has so helped me for mine. And really, the truths are just good for all of us. So whatever we're going through right now, if you're in Christ, hear the Lord say, "Ebenezer, I have not brought you this far to fail you now." All right, so Saga of a Kitten Rescue, part 5. Y'all were like, please say 5, please. All things beautiful. So, of course, that comes from Ecclesiastes 3:11, the first part of that verse. He has made everything beautiful in its time. And he indeed did make this story beautiful. We got to keep Abigail and... some of y'all know Meg Estes. She came over to enjoy the kittens and was praying with me, just sitting there playing with kittens and holding Abigail. And she prayed, "Lord, would you just let Charlotte get to keep Abigail, the mom?" Because I had the mom ready to go too, you know, if someone wanted the mom. And she prayed I'd get to keep Abigail. And it's going to turn out, this really turned out to be of the Lord. I just know it was. So we had a happy ending, and I've already told you the kittens all went to happy, happy homes. It just couldn't have gone any better. But what do we do writing this with those times that do not tie up in a happy little bow? Well, I'm writing this in the blog because I know there are people reading it or someone who might read it that has experienced or is experienced those things that can happen in this world that are unthinkable. Unthinkable. We wouldn't even want to repeat them. And so I never want to be like, happy, 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 everything ends happy, this side of eternity. No, it doesn't. Not always. And so the question is, what do we do with that? So 1 Peter 1:6-7, it says, "In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials." And I'm so glad he says that. He doesn't go, I mean, he's saying, of course you're grieving. Of course you are. When you go through certain things, of course you grieve over that. "So that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." So I kind of went into the point that he says, if necessary. Now, that doesn't mean God had to send that horrific, horrible thing into your life or you'd never make it. That's not what we're saying at all. We're in a fallen world where horrible things can happen. And if God allows it, if he didn't stop it, then he's going to use it for your faith to be more genuine. He's going to use it for the things that really matter. So we praise him for that. So I had put in here, I put the phrase, even that. Like, God can handle anything. And I wrote in there, even that, because I didn't know what someone might be going through when they read it. So when I read it now, I hear even that, even what I knew was coming down the pike and was preparing you for. So I wrote in this blog the questions we're using in our study, and I had said, here are some questions to keep us mindful of hope, even in the midst of the hardest things, to keep us from being distracted or dragged under by the trial. We want to keep our focus on him and remember that trials have purpose. And then here's our questions. What might he be using to strengthen and purify you, to make you more like Christ, to position you for more fruitful service? Because this is his plan for the trials. And so I had the thought today, what we do is we read our praise verse. And honestly, some of the things we write in there in our section of It's All Gonna Matter, the harder things, some of it's nobody's business. Nobody needs to be read to get it or whatever. But wouldn't it be interesting, and maybe next class we'll do this, to give an opportunity for people to say, this week, what were some things you put in that section? And how is God using it? And what is it looking like? Because the hard things are also gifts. And that's what we've got to know, that he's going to use it for good. He will turn it for good. So what was so dear is, after naming her Abigail and then keeping her and the kittens are all gone. When this crash came, and it was October of 2019, so the kittens were all homed, I think, by August of 2019, and then October is when our world began to crash, and one of the there were many go-to scriptures that the Lord had me in. Obviously, one was Exodus, and thank y'all so much for walking through that with me as I kind of re-went through it to write the study, but the other one was 1 Samuel 25, and it's about Abigail, a woman who loves the Lord, and she's married to a husband named Nabal. I mean, his name, even as it says in there, it means fool, it means all kinds of things. But if you look it up in the Strong's Concordance, and I'm sorry, I didn't think to print it out because it's just coming to mind, it really speaks to some things. So here she is married to this hard-hearted man. And so I cannot tell you how that ministered to me, just to read it, to pray. And even as I pray, you know, and Nabal gets struck down, y'all. And so even as I'm praying, strike him. What we pray as believers, it's strike him dead, that he'd be raised to everlasting life. So when you're talking about someone that you know is not a believer, we're praying, Lord, strike him dead to self, that they'd be raised to everlasting life in Christ. So much played in, and at some point I felt like the Lord say, let's forget Nabal and let's focus on Abigail. And I felt like he began to teach me some things just from what she did to try to do the right thing, even when things were not going well for her. And her name means like delight of the Father or Father's delight. So you know how sometimes in Revelation it says we're going to have a new name. So I don't know. I have a friend who's been through what I'm going through. She lost a child and she has a special needs child. And Val knows her. She's spoken at Women of Gilgal. And so she just seeks to find grace, God's grace in everything. So I told her, I think your new name's going to be Grace. And then I told Casey Hawley, I said, I think your name's Joy. I don't know, Casey just has so much joy. And so, you know, sometimes we joke about that or we think we know. So I kind of hope my new name is Abigail. So I just kind of think that would be so dear. And I have to tell you, I watched that sweet baby. And we moved, you know, the townhouse I moved into, you know how sometimes townhouses are like tall and thin. So it actually has four stories to it, you know, like a bedroom here, a couple there, something there, like four stories. So Abigail thinks we've moved into a giant cat tree. She loves the new place. My dog was like, these floors are slippery. I hate it here. And Abigail is like, we've finally arrived. So Abigail is so joyful and so content and so happy. And so I watch her and I think, Lord, that's me. You have rescued me and you will care for me and you will get me to the right home and you'll get me. And he's doing all those things. So with that said, I mean, I do have my meltdowns. I hope y'all know that. I want to be honest. I have my meltdowns. So yesterday, we have another cat analogy. I had to run her to the vet back on my old side of town because she had a UTI. Well, Abigail hates to be crated. She hates to travel. She hates to go anywhere. She just wants to be in her happy rescue home. And I caught her and put her in her little thing. All the way, she's crying out to me. I mean, she is, you know, just crying out. And she's not usually that verbal. And I look back, I don't think I've ever seen this before. Her mouth was wide open and she was panting while she was crying out to me. And I'm turning around, you know, trying to pet her while I'm driving and tell, you know, it's going to be okay. And I thought, I get it. Lord, that is so me. That is me crying out to you. No, please, anything but this. No, please, let's don't go there. No, not that way, not this road, not here. No, Lord, anything but that. Please, please, please. And he loves me. So I kid you not, I wish I remembered exactly what I said, but I wrote down close to what I think I said. Last night, of course, she forgave me by evening and we're cuddling. I was petting her before I went to bed and I heard myself say this, my God takes me places I don't want to go to for my good and my healing. So we can trust him in that, and I praise him for that. So thank you for traveling with me through the kitten saga. And trust me, I left out a lot. So there's always more. The song we're going to do is It Is Well. And I'm actually using another version. I'm not using the hymn, although that would have been wonderful. I'm using one that actually it'll have the words up here, but there's a phrase that says, "The waves and winds still know his name." And I love that line. And it made me think, you know, we've seen, isn't it neat how we've watched through Exodus that everything is God's servant? The wind, the rain, actually driving over here, even in the stormy, it actually caught my attention. I was like, Lord, you're still the God of the storm. And yet that lightning bolt, you did it. You know it. Every raindrop is your servant. That thunderclap is your servant. Everything. And so it makes sense then that when Jesus, our Lord and Savior, came to earth in the flesh, fully God, that he would say to the wind and the waves, be still. And they just were. Isn't that exciting? Today still he is commanding and telling and speaking. So anyway, we'll worship through this song. Pray out loud if you feel to. If not, we'll go right on into our discussion. Lord, you are the maker of heaven and earth. There's none besides you. We don't have words to describe your greatness. I praise you and thank you that you created us, you love us, and you made a way for us to be rescued. And I pray that you'll just continue to be leading us and helping us as we go into discussion time. And just really, I pray that your Holy Spirit will give us ears to hear and eyes to see and mouths to speak what you want us to share, and that we just wouldn't miss anything. I thank you, Lord. I know it gives you delight when your children gather and assemble in your name to fellowship, to worship you, to rejoice in who you are. And I thank you so much for this time where we can just get together and speak of your wonders. We love you, we praise you, and we want to know you more and more until we see you face to face. In Jesus' name, amen.